In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. As we have been journeying with God's people, they've been enslaved for 400 years in Egypt. The Lord had answered their cries. The Lord had brought them out of that slavery, through the waters of the Red Sea, and out into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, they were learning how to journey and walk with God by trust, by relying on Him and not on anything else. This trust was put to the test almost immediately. There, as they stood at the face of the Red Sea and an army bearing down upon them, would they trust? Then, as they had bitter water in the desert and had no clean water to drink, would they trust? A month in, they ran out of food. Would they trust? Shortly after running out of food, they ran out of water again. Would they trust? Would they rely on God, or would they want to go back to Egypt, back to slavery, where things were predictable and even comfortable in the midst of their suffering? The Lord had provided for them at every turn. The waters of the Red Sea had parted. Bitter waters had been turned sweet. Bread from heaven and quail had been provided. And a rock had been split to bring forth water. At every single turn, God proved Himself again and again. He was faithful. He could be relied on, no matter how dark things got. So as the people continued their journey through the wilderness, they were led to the wilderness of Sinai. There, the Mount of Sinai was before them, a mountain on which Moses had previously seen the glory of God. And there, the Lord spoke to Moses and told him, "I am going to give commands to my people. If they are willing to listen to my voice, if they are willing to obey, I will set them apart. They will be holy." That is, they will be different than all of the rest of the world around them. Because as we had seen in Genesis, the rest of the world had been down in a spiral of decay. A spiral that started with the desire to be like God. To decide what was morality, what was good, what was evil for ourselves. This spiral led to violence, selfishness, death. So the Lord told Moses, "I'm going to give the people words, commands, that if they listen to these, they will be set apart and they will have life." Everything, the Lord told Moses, everything in all creation is mine. And I will give it to them as inheritors. There, at the foot of Mount Sinai, the people agreed with Moses. "Moses, yes, we will do everything that the Lord will command us. Every word, every precept, every command, we will listen to. Every word." And so the Lord told Moses, "I will come down upon the mountain of Sinai, have the people gather at the base of the mountain, and there they will see my power, they will hear my voice, and they will fear me. They will fear me so that they might realize how important it is that they listen to my words. Because if they don't, they will end up in the death, the violence, the suffering, and the pain of the rest of the world. My words will bring them life." So Moses left the people at the base of Mount Sinai, and up he went. And there, on the top of the mountain, the thunder boomed. The lightning flashed. The clouds and the smoke gathered, and the people trembled. And the word of the Lord came forth. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You will have no other gods. The Lord opens what we are familiar with as the Ten Commandments with the declaration of his authority, his lordship. His voice is the only one. He is the only God. There is no other. Any other competing voice is nothing. And he is the bringer of true freedom. He is the one who rescues. No other. This God is the bringer of freedom. You will not make any carved image or any likeness of anything in the heavens or the earth or the seas below. You must not bow down or serve anything else. Nothing in all creation, sun, moon, stars, anything in the earth around us, anything in the seas below, nothing must be served except for God. And there must be no image made of these things, no technology of our hands that we worship and serve. Only the Lord. You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold that person guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now we often hear this commandment and think of stubbing our toe and saying, "Oh God." This is not what the command is getting at. To take the Lord's name in vain is something much more profound. What God is saying is you must not misrepresent me. The way that we speak about God, the way that we teach about God, the way that we live, how do they represent God? Do our words, do our actions represent who God is in his character, in his authority, in his love? The Lord says, you must not misrepresent me to others. And he goes on and says, remember the Sabbath, a Hebrew word that means to stop. To rest. He says that I made the creation in 6 days, rested and stopped on the seventh. You too must follow this rhythm. A rhythm where we remember that it is not our work, our toil, our striving, our ambitions are nothing. The Lord is the one who provides. We must stop regularly and rest to remember that it is on the Lord that we wait. It is not on our own diligency, our own striving. We stop. We rest. And in addition, we stop and rest in order to take care of those farther down the social hierarchy, the servants, the animals, the land. We stop so that we do not abuse others. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. Care for, respect your parents. Do not abandon them in the arrogance of your prime of life. Look out for them. Give them back what they have given to you when you were helpless and small. You will not kill. Period. You will not commit adultery. You will not use others for your pleasure. You will not use them to gain in social advantage, economic or political. You will not steal. As we heard from the Lord earlier in the text, everything belongs to God. So to steal is to take more than we need. Remember the people as they wandered in the wilderness and they were given manna from heaven. If they took more than their daily allowance, it rotted. They were stealing from God. You will not bear false witness against your neighbor. You will not speak words or give a testimony against those around you that puts them to shame or misrepresents them. Finally, you will not covet. You will not desire what others have. In a sense, the Lord is saying, you will not compare yourself to others. Do not look at them in comparison. Do not compete against others. They're none of your business. Do not look at them and desire what they have. There, after these words were spoken, the thunder continued to boom, the lightning continued to flash, and the people were trembling, saying that they would listen to the word of God. So terrified they were, they said, "Do not let God speak to us. Moses, you just hand down the words to us yourself." Do we tremble before the word of God anymore? Does the word and command of God elicit a sense of fear in us, as it did the people at Sinai? Does his word carry such a weighty sense of authority for us that we can't help but tremble? What word, or what thing, or what person in you, in your life, has such an authority that you tremble with anxiety at the possibility of letting them down? What word governs the true decisions and direction of your life? Popular opinion? Social convention, maybe? The peer pressure of others mocking you for not fitting in? Does being set apart make you anxious? Or human wisdom? Generations of humanity, philosophers, scholars, scientists, their word, mankind has discovered the truth. That word is what really governs our world and our lives. Are those in power, the governments, the nations, the rulers around us, in their authority and wealth and power, their word is the one that we must obey? Is it? Or family, maybe someone very close to you, a spouse, child, a friend. Maybe the voice inside of you, that maybe is your authority. What voice or voices are the ones that truly guide the direction of where we're going? And what do we believe brings us true freedom in our world? Is it the armies, the soldiers, the wars that go on in our world? That is the bringer of freedom. Our technologies, that will liberate us from our weaknesses and our limitedness. Or again, maybe the governments and the nations will get it together, and through their organization and power, we will finally be free. At Sinai, the Lord spoke to the people and made it absolutely clear. My word, my voice is the only one with authority. I am the only one who brings true freedom. No other. No one else. No army, no government, no popular opinion, no person, not even your own internal voice makes you free or can govern your life. I am the Lord, your God. Are we a people who represent that properly to the world? When the world hears us speak, when the world sees us live and make our decisions, are we representing that God? The God that Jesus has brought home among us? Do our words, do our lives point to another God instead? Another authority? When people see your decisions, what authority would they see governing your life? Are we a people who rest and stop? A people who are not hell-bent on our ambitions? Are we a people who care for our parents, even when it's a pain in the rear? Are we a people who refuse to kill? Period. No capital punishment, no wars. Are we a people who refuse to use other people for our pleasure, passing partners around in order to play some sort of game for our advantage, using others? Are we a people who don't steal, who never take more than we need because we realize everything belongs to God and Him alone? Are we a people who represent and put the best construction on our neighbors around us? Are we a people who refuse to compare, who refuse to compete, who refuse to desire what others seem to have? The Lord spoke at Sinai, giving them a word to bring life and freedom, inviting them out of slavery. He invited them out of being part of the common group, to be set apart, different than everybody else, different than the way that the world operated, but to be the beginning of transforming that whole world into something more beautiful, life-giving, loving, merciful, forgiving. Being that kind of people has a cost. Are we willing to listen and obey? Amen.